Welcome. It is Sunday, June 12th, 2022. It's Trinity Sunday. Our scriptures this week are from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, Psalms 8, Proverbs 8, 1 through 4, and 22 through 31, and Romans 5, 1 through 5. And the title of my message this week is Perspective. Please open your Bibles and read with me from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, starting at verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Our second reading is Psalms chapter 8. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our third reading is from Proverbs 8. Verses 1 through 4, and then verses 22 through 31. This is titled, Wisdom's Call. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates that leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud, To you, O men, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. Verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I gave birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills I was given birth, before he made the earth and all its fields and any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, and when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Our fourth reading is from Romans 5, 1 through 5. Paul writes, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this Sunday is known as Trinity Sunday, and many of us have a hard time wrapping our minds around God as being three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So popes around the world will try to explain the mystery of the Trinity. Some will use the illustration of H2O. Depending on the circumstances, we find those same elements as either water or ice or steam. Same composition of two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, but three different ways of experiencing those elements. And others will describe the Trinity as a tip of an iceberg we see above the water and remind us that the tip does not describe its much larger mass beneath the water. And they will tell you that the doctrine of the Trinity does not attempt to explain God. It only explains to us in a very elemental way what God has revealed to us about himself so far. So we Christians affirm the Trinity not as an explanation of God, but simply as a way of describing what we know about him. Now, I can't tell you how many times my wife Bonnie has asked me what I meant when I do or tell her something that she doesn't understand. She'll say to me, "What are you thinking?" And my response would be, "It's all in the presentation or in your perspective." I'm almost sure that when Jim was sent for scriptures for this Sunday's bulletin, he wanted to ask, "Pastor, what are you thinking? You never start your sermons with that many scriptures." Well, what I was thinking, given that this Sunday is Trinity Sunday, we should take some time to consider the perspective some writers in the Bible have of who God is, was, and will be. So if you remember last Sunday, it was Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit was made known to all those gathered in Jerusalem. And Acts 2, 1 through 4 told us that the disciples were gathered together in prayer, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heavens and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I'm almost certain some of the disciples waiting there asked God in their prayers what he was thinking. Because then the Spirit of truth that Jesus spoke of in our gospel reading today helped them to get the right perspective on what was happening and the ability to present the truth to those around them. And we learn that about 3,000 accepted Peter's message of repentance and believed. So we know that all people are perceived depending on one's perspective. You know, son or daughter, mom or dad, grandmother or grandfather. But none of those titles describe the actual person we are speaking of and how we perceive them. It's the same when we refer to God as the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. I mean, do we actually give our perspective of the Trinity? But suffice it to say, no matter what we say about God, it will never be enough. And what we do say will depend upon our perspective. So let's look at our scriptures and consider the perspective some writers in the Bibles have of who God is, was, and will be. I mean, the psalmist wrote, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you cared for him," in Psalms 8, 3 and 4. Well, the psalmist's perspective of God was that he was the father of all and the creator of the universe. Years ago, one of our astronauts who flew on the Apollo 9, he returned to Earth from his magnificent space adventure, and he wrote his perspective of the adventure. He wrote, "I saw the Earth not as something big, but as a small thing out there. And the contrast between that bright blue and white in the black sky, that infinite universe really comes through, and the size of it, the significance of it. It was so small and fragile and such a precious little spot in that universe that you can't block it out with your thumb. And you realize on that small spot, that little blue and white thing is everything that means anything to you. all of history and music and poetry and art and death and birth and love, all the tears, joy, games, all of it on that little spot out there that you can cover with your thumb. You know, it's a matter of perspective and our presentation of it. Truth be told, our lives are lived on the basis of our perspectives. I mean, the graduates that we honor at this time of year have a perspective that can no doubt be described as on top of the world. And why not? They're celebrating a significant accomplishment. But soon that perspective will change, and life will be seen through the nervous eyes of a college freshman or from the bottom rung of on the job ladder. We all see things differently at different times, and it's all in the perspective and the presentation we share. So when Solomon wrote Proverbs 8, Wisdom's Call, his perspective was that wisdom should be seen as an entity, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, referring to wisdom as a woman. And I'm sure she didn't ask God, "What are you thinking?" because Solomon perceived her as part of God, his voice. And in her presentation of his words, she cried aloud, "To you, O man, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind," in Proverbs 8, 3 and 4. She, meaning wisdom, was at God's side from the very beginning. And from Solomon's perspective, God and wisdom are inseparable. And from our perspective, can we recognize the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, at one with God, speaking to us today? I mean, too many times in our perspective of the Holy Spirit, we are often like a wealthy oil baron who once commissioned Picasso to paint a portrait of his wife. So when the work was completed, the baron was shocked to see the image that he had been created. He said, "Why, that looks nothing like my wife. You should have painted her the way she really is." Well, Picasso took a deep breath and said, "I'm not sure what that would be." So without hesitation, the oil baron pulled out his wallet and removed a photograph of his wife, saying, "There, you see, this is how she really is." Picasso, bending over, he looked at it and he replied, "She's rather small and flat, isn't she?" Is that your perspective of the Holy Spirit? Small and flat, not alive and speaking? Well, too often from our perspective, we recognize Trinity Sunday as the only an event on our church's calendar. It's the only Sunday set aside during the entire year to honor a doctrine. As Bible scholars know, the word Trinity is found nowhere in the scriptures, but our perspective of the doctrine of the Trinity comes from faithful reading of the scripture with an attempt to give a reasonably adequate understanding of God. We find the Creator God making an entire universe out of nothing but a spoken word. We see God as Redeemer in the person of the work of Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. We see God as the Sustainer in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, as the hymn writer has it. It's all in the perspective. So when Paul writes his presentation of his perspective, Paul tells us the perspective we as Christians should have, one of hope that we have attained. For he writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God," in Romans 5, 1 and 2. So is your perspective of the Trinity one of hope? Is your presentation of that hope revealed in your everyday living? Consider this. A man had an awful day at work. Everything had gone wrong. There was one interruption after another, and he was never able to complete his work. So when he entered the door at home that evening, he knew that his wife must have had a similar day. He could see it on her face. So to help her set the perception of their day straight, he began, "I've had the worst day of my life. It's been bad news, and more bad news. And I don't know what kind of day you've had, but if at all possible, can you share some good news with me?" Well, the wife, a thoughtful and loving person, considered his request for a moment and then said, "Of course I can. You know, we have six beautiful children, right?" And he agreed. "Well," she said, "five of them didn't break a leg today." Paul's perspective and ours should be that by our faith in the Trinity, we should also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. From what perspective will you view life when you go out from here today? What perspective and presentation of the Trinity will your faith reveal to others? It will make a difference. I mean, look, Jesus' death on the cross, to the perspective of the world, was another brutal murder and a brutal existence. But through the eyes of faith, it was God so loving the world that he gave his only Son to pay the penalty for our sin. And Paul, through the eyes of the world, he was just another religious fanatic bent on terrorism. But through the eyes of faith, Paul became the greatest missionary the church has ever known. So through the eyes of the world, those poor and hungry and sick and imprisoned, they're a nuisance. But through the eyes of faith, they're an opportunity to meet Christ. Through the eyes of the world, we are so too small and powerless to make a difference. But through the eyes of faith, we know that when we walk out of here, we don't walk out alone. We go with each other, and our triune God, he goes with us. And that is power. So when through the eyes of the world, you and I are seen as insignificant, just 1 in 6 billion plus, remember that through the eyes of faith, we are incredibly important. And God knows us so intimately that even the hairs of our heads are numbered. I figure that changes by the hour for some of us, but anyway, how will you see things today? What will your perspective and presentation reveal to others about our triune God? Remember, it's all in your perspective. Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.